You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Well, the Mets lost again on Tuesday, and I'm going to talk about that loss a little bit in the second half of the show. But I want to start off talking about not only the injuries, but the lineup the Mets rolled out on Tuesday and what they should do moving forward. Because I got to say, the only thing missing from that starting lineup on Tuesday was Eric Campbell, because it felt like 2016-2017 dog days Mets baseball. I was looking for John Mayberry. I was looking for James Loney. There was not a lot of firepower in that starting lineup. I'll get to that in a minute. But first, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, check me out on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsmerizedOnline.com. Now, I am probably being a little bit too dismissive of this starting lineup the Mets rolled out on Tuesday. It did have Brandon Nimmo, J.D. Davis, Pete Alonso, Wilson Ramos, and Michael Conforto at the top of the lineup. Those are five good hitters. But you look at the bottom half, and Brian Dozier has struggled so far with the Mets. He did get his first hit in a Mets uniform on Tuesday, but he was batting sixth, and he is not the same home run threat he once was. Ryan Cordell was batting seventh. Andres Jimenez, who I like a lot, was batting eighth, and you had Tomas Nito batting ninth. So the Mets went heavy on the defense when it came to Cordell in center, Nito at catcher, DHing Ramos. But it just shows you how much the Mets were missing those guys that went down with injury. So you have Jeff McNeil and Amed Rosario, who are day-to-day. It's an intercostal strain for McNeil, a low-grade one. Same thing as far as the grade with Rosario, a low-grade strain in his quad, his left quad. But Robinson Cano is going to be down for a while. He had a grade 2 adductor strain. He was put on the IL, replaced on the roster by Billy Hamilton. And that's bad news for the Mets, because Cano has been red hot. You can listen to yesterday's show as I broke down what he's done recently. I mean, he was batting damn near 600 after starting the season 1 for 12. He was driving in runs, basically being the player the Mets thought they were getting when they made that trade, whatever it is, 18 months ago now at this point. So Cano is going to be tough to make up for, especially when Pete Alonso isn't quite firing on all cylinders yet. But this team has got to figure some things out, and hopefully if Rosario and McNeil come back into the lineup soon, it's an easy answer, because if that's the case, Andres Jimenez replaces Cano, and you just keep on rolling. Obviously, you should see Dominic Smith in the lineup on most days. He was not in the lineup on Tuesday because there was a lefty on the mound against Max Scherzer on Wednesday. I'm sure he will be in the starting lineup, and that will help. And it will also help to move Cano back to the catcher position, because as much as you can look at Tomas Nito right now and say, hey, he's batting 300, he came up in some big spots there with runners on and just looked overmatched still. So he's still not that type of offensive player you want to see out there every day. With all that being said, I am really interested in how the Mets deploy Andres Jimenez and where Jeff McNeil is going to play, because I have a feeling that Jimenez is going to be the starting third baseman moving forward until Cano comes back. And the reason I say that is because on Monday, before Jeff McNeil was scratched due to what was originally described as back tightness, he was going to be playing in left field. Cano was going to be playing second, Rosario at short, and Jimenez is going to start at third. And McNeil, while I thought he was going to be a great defensive third baseman, and I still think he can be, he has struggled making that throw this year. It hasn't necessarily been for, you know, lack of arm strength, but he's been a little bit wild making that throw, and he's made 5 errors in 9 games. So I can see the Mets starting Jimenez at third, assuming, again, Rosario is healthy at shortstop, because his arm strength is fantastic, and he's been very accurate making those throws, whether it be from third base or from shortstop. And then you can slide McNeil over to second base, which I think a lot of people have always felt is his best position. And obviously, that's a lot easier throw for McNeil to make. So I can see them going with that lineup moving forward, sticking with the J.D. Davis, Dom Smith experiment over in left field, where they're coming out of the game after 3 at-bats and you're going to your defense-heavy team if you have a lead and bringing a Ryan Cordell or a Billy Hamilton in to play center and sliding Nimmo over to left. Now, one other thing. The Mets did start J.D. Davis at third base on Tuesday. Now, if they were to play him there, that would open up another interesting type of roster composition where McNeil would be in left field and Jimenez would be at second. And if you go back to the archives of this show, there's been a lot of times where either the offseason or last season, I discussed why not play Davis at third and McNeil in left. The reason I made that argument is because I think Jeff McNeil is significantly better than J.D. Davis in left field. I think if you have an outfield of McNeil, Nimmo, and Conforto, while it is still not an outstanding outfield, you still have a little bit of a compromised center fielder, as Nimmo should probably be a corner outfielder. McNeil was very good in the corners last year. Conforto is a very good right fielder. So the three of them provide the Mets with pretty good outfield defense. And while J.D. Davis did not play the position well last year at third base, and that's why the Mets moved him into the outfield, if you look at advanced metrics and outs above average, he is a little bit better than advertised at third. He has a strong arm, and I do think he might hurt the Mets less at third than in left. You then move Jimenez over to second. I think that is definitely a better defense than what we've seen so far this year. Obviously, with Cano at second, McNeil at third, and Davis in left, the Mets have just been very bad defensively. I know the offense has been the bigger concern, but this stuff is important. And I think the bottom line through all of it is that Andrés Giménez is really a difference maker when it comes to his glove. And personally, if I was making decisions after watching him play shortstop, I might even start him at short and see what Rosario can do out in center field and go that route, because Rosario is athletic and maybe he picks that position up quickly, but I think Jimenez is a better defensive shortstop. I don't think that's a move the Mets make this year. That's maybe something in 2021 down the line that they explore, but if this kid keeps hitting, and it's a 21 at-bat sample size, so I'm not really going full-blown, I'm buying him as a major league hitter just yet. But if they can get him to be a replacement level hitter, that glove is worthy of starting. It's almost like what the Braves had for years with Andrelton Simmons. The guy is really good defensively. Now I want to talk about this Mets loss in just a minute here as they suffer a 5-3 defeat at the hands of the Washington Nationals. I know with me personally, with everything that's been going on with the coronavirus, I have been relying on delivery more than ever. And the best way I can do that and get food from my favorite restaurants and get my groceries delivered and all of it has been to use Postmates. They're a personal delivery service for your food, grocery, whatever kind of delivery you need all year round. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Download the app for iOS or Android for free, and then begin to browse local restaurants and businesses and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Coming off the heels of a big victory on Monday, the Mets were hoping that Steven Matz could keep the ball rolling on Tuesday, going against Patrick Corbin of the Nationals. And unfortunately, Matz just did not have a great start. Only goes 3 innings, gives up 7 hits, 5 earned runs. The biggest concern that I've seen so far from watching Matz is the fact that he's leaving the ball over the middle of the plate and he's getting touched up for a lot of home runs. He's given up 5 home runs through 3 starts, pitched 14 and a third innings thus far. That's not a good ratio with his home runs per 9. He's given up 2 home runs in each of his last 2 starts also. So this is a bad trend for Steven to go down. I do like what I've seen in certain instances with Matz this year. I mean, his first start was really good. And I haven't seen him really raging on the mound. I mean, he's definitely got upset, and he gets upset still. But, you know, there was the Steven Matz that we saw who gave up, what was it, 8 runs without getting it out last year, or even in starts in the past where he really lets things snowball. And the fact that he is still able to get out of some of these bad innings is a good sign. But seeing him really put it together for an extended stretch where he goes start after start and delivers, that's just something we haven't seen yet. And you got to wonder, as he's now in, I mean, I know there's been injuries, but this would be, what, his 6th season, theoretically, 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Granted, ton of injuries, not quite, you know, been a steady part of the rotation, but he's been relatively healthy the last 2 years leading into this season. You want to see that consistency at this point. And for a pitcher now that's really supposed to be coming into his own, we just haven't seen him hit that ceiling yet. He's a guy that will go out there on a given start and look lights out. And you'll think, I mean, this guy can be a number 2 in the Mets rotation. But when you have Rick Porcello and Michael Wacha behind Steven Matz, it makes his bad starts really amplify, because you're not looking at Zach Wheeler going tomorrow. You're not looking at Noah Syndergaard potentially taking the ball soon. And it just really magnifies it. And you can't just rely on Jacob deGrom in the offense all year long. I've been impressed with David Peterson. I was impressed with Michael Wacha's first start. I was impressed with Steven Matz's first start. But you're looking at this rotation, and it's just not what we've seen the Mets roll out there, particularly last year in 2019 when they went on that run with the 5 great starting pitchers. So I definitely think there's a lot of concern right now in the Mets rotation, especially if they're not going to be clubbing teams and scoring 10 runs a game like we thought they might coming into this year. Now that Cespedes is gone and Pete Alonso is having a real sophomore slump, there is a lot of concerns about whether the Mets can really come together. It's very early. It's 12 games in, but you're also talking about in a 60-game season, 20% of your schedule. So that's definitely something to keep your eye on. But the Mets really get into the big hole in this game on Tuesday, losing by 5 runs. They start clawing back. Michael Conforto hits a 2-run homer in the 4th inning, went opposite field against a lefty. Very impressive, although he has had Patrick Corbin's number throughout his career. I believe this is his 5th home run against Corbin. So that was a good sign. And then Pete Alonso did get a big RBI hit in the 5th inning, which cut the deficit to 2 runs. But overall, the Mets still weren't able to come together with runners in scoring position. They left 10 guys on base as a team. They went 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. And that's just not going to win a lot of ball games. And you go back to the starting lineup, as I already talked about, this wasn't their best offensive group. They needed the top 5 of the lineup to produce. They did score 3 runs, all from that top 5. The bottom half of the lineup really did not hit well Cordell and Brian Dozier did get base hits. Even Needle got a base hit, but they weren't really impactful hits. There wasn't runners on when they got those hits, and they didn't really amount to anything. Andrés Giménez went 2-for-4. That's a good sign, but still, it was another disappointing day for the Mets offense. So we will see if the Mets bats come around on Wednesday, although they'll have a tough matchup going against Max Scherzer. Scherzer, of course, has owned the Mets throughout his career when he's been with the Nationals. Was a three-time Cy Young winner at this point. He'll be going against his former teammate with the Detroit Tigers, Rick Porcello, who also won a Cy Young after leaving Detroit. Porcello has not pitched like that Cy Young guy for the Mets. That's for sure. Has struggled in his first two outings, although he was better his second time out. So we'll see if Porcello puts together a good start for the Mets. I'll be interested to see if Rosario or McNeil do play on Wednesday. I kind of doubt it, since there's an off day on Thursday, so you can give those guys a couple more days to heal and maybe get back for this weekend series against the Miami Marlins. That will, of course, be interesting for a whole host of reasons, namely their COVID concerns and the fact that 18 of their players aren't there due to testing positive for the virus. They have a ton of replacement players. I don't even know who's on that team, so that'll be something to talk about over the next couple days here. But we will see how this little two-game series concludes against the Nationals Wednesday night. As always, thank you for listening. Please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.